Space Cowboy Books presents Simultaneous Times, a science and speculative fiction podcast. Short stories to stir the imagination by contemporary authors.
Free Download by Jean-Paul L. Garnier. Read by the author, with music by Fog Machine. I'm glad that you came in today, Richard. A man at the crossroads of life, such as yourself, needs to start planning his future beyond the corporeal state. I know what you're going to say. Is it the same as the here and now? The answer is no. But, and this is a big but, it is definitely not death. Not in the old-fashioned sense of the word, anyway. And again, it's great that you came in today, because I can give you a first-hand demonstration of what I mean.
That's great, because that's actually why I came in. You see, my family has been bugging me to do this ever since my daughter got pregnant. For some reason, they think I might not be around to get to know my grandkids. They keep telling me that this is the next best thing. I guess I'm old-fashioned, but the idea of it seems kind of crazy to me.
Richard, I understand. A lot of people feel the same way you do at first. You know, most people think that if you can't touch something, that it doesn't exist. But ask yourself, can you touch love? Can you touch your soul? Of course not. But we know that they're both real. In a sense, that is what we were able to preserve here at Bionetics International. Those intangible things that are the real meaning of life.
So, what exactly happens? And is there a guarantee that it'll work? I mean, will I feel anything?
I'm glad you asked, because I was just coming to that. First, we'll do a body scan and have you respond to a series of questions. This is merely to preserve your image. That way, if your family feels more comfortable interacting with you in association with your image, all they have to do is switch on the holoprojector, and it will be like you were there with them in the room. We have many other interface solutions, but the holoprojector is by far our best-selling accessory. After the body scans, we'll move on to the neural network mapping. This is where the real magic happens. By creating a virtual analog of your synaptic pathways and interactions, we are able to build a perfect reproduction of your consciousness. From there, your input and output must all enter your mind via computer interface. But in reality, it is the only noticeable difference from living inside of your body. And it is totally safe. Should you decide that you don't like this form of afterlife, all you have to do is ask to be disconnected. The procedure is painless. In fact, pain will be a thing of the past for you, and it is all completely at your discretion.
All right. That all sounds pretty good, but still kind of too good to be true. How will I know that I will still be me? How will I know that what my family is getting isn't just some kind of abomination or just a computer program?
Again, Richard, I'm glad you asked. The best method, tried and true, is for you to see for yourself. What we are going to do, free of charge for a great client like yourself, is give you a live demonstration. If you wouldn't mind stepping inside of the scanning room and following the prompts, you'll be able to meet with yourself and ask all the questions you like, right this way.
I must say that was the most eerie moment of my life. I'm convinced now that my family would have a hard time telling the difference, but I cannot help but feel that what you've shown me is not me. I don't think anyone else could tell the difference, but there's just something off about it to me.
I hate to tell you this, Richard, but the reason he seems off to you is because you are not the same person you were when we took the scans. The experience of meeting yourself has changed you, and this is quite common. The way around it is simple. We take regular scans for the remainder of your corporeal life and keep the virtual you up to date.
I can't go through with this. I'm sorry I wasted your time. Your service just isn't for me. Thanks for the demonstration.
All right, Richard. If you say so, I'll go ahead and delete the files. Please let us know if you change your mind. We also offer family deals, if your wife should want to give it a try.
Thanks. I'll let her know. Before I go, what happens to me? I mean the demonstration, when you delete the files.
The virtual you just ceases to exist. That's all. Don't worry. He won't feel a thing.
Wait a minute. First you try to sell me eternal life, and now you're gonna kill me?
Put Up a Sign by DJ Butler. Read by Jean-Paul Garnier, Gabriel Hart, Lawrence Lane, and Zara Kand. With music by Red, Blue, Black, Silver.
You ought to put up a sign,
Lumen Walters grumbled. The watchman, Youngstown German brawlers with faces like undercooked pork rumps, ignored him. He said it again, auf Deutsch this time. His German was pretty good, and they shoved him into the hard wooden chair. Lumen winced, and the vicar's grin got wider. The priest stood in the corner of the room, florid and satisfied. The man had stumbled across Lumen in the act of reading the gospel over a client's field and had immediately summoned the watch. The town official, Bürgermeister, or alderman, or whatever he was, put round spectacles over the ridge of his thin face and gazed at Lumen with dispassion.
Should we also put up a sign saying, do not kill anyone? Perhaps also no stealing within the bounds of this town and do not burn buildings.
Lumen admired the withering scorn of this village headman, but he also didn't have any cash to pay the fine. All his ready money, specie, and notes went to Helga to pay her father for the lessons in Braukerei that he was ostensibly teaching to her, but on which Lumen eavesdropped. The old man was blind, and Helga was bored and threatening to quit. She demanded more money, and now if Lumen didn't come up with 6 shillings by the end of next week, his studies in German magic would be over. He also worried Helga might tell her beefy male cousins what Lumen had been doing, and then he'd end up tarred and feathered and ridden out of town on a splintery rail. He winced again.
I'm not sure that do not practice magic without a license falls into quite the same category as arson,
Lumen suggested, trying to sound inoffensive and puzzled.
And I didn't realize that Youngstown licensed wizards in any case.
The issue is not a lack of license.
The Bürgermeister's smile was lopsided, like a drawing of a child.
And this is not Youngstown. If you look out the window, you could see the walls of Free Imperial Youngstown. You could just barely see them, as the town is 8 miles away. You are in the village of Hubbard. And the issue is that you practice magic at all. The village council of Hubbard has imposed a very strict ordinance. No charms, no wizardry at all, within a mile of Little Deer Creek or Mud Run.
The priest cracked his knuckles.
And you, my young friend, have been ensorcelling crops right along Little Deer.
Ensorcelling is an awfully big word for a bit of corn reading,
Lumen protested.
And I didn't do anything your petitioners didn't ask me to.
Didn't pay you to do?
The priest's face was sour.
Simon Magus, and I have heard rumors of money digging.
Lumen Walters? Lumen sighed. Please, and anyway, this town has a wizard.
The priest's back stiffened.
We do not.
Lumen furrowed his brow. He didn't want to display too much knowledge.
I heard some of the people I helped mentioned a Hexenmeister, Herr Hoffman.
Herr Hoffman is no sorcerer,
the priest growled.
He is a man of great faith, and his prayers and traditional medicines are highly esteemed for their effectiveness.
Lumen bit his own tongue to prevent himself from shouting.
That's the same thing.
Herr Hoffman is a respected member of the community,
the Bürgermeister said.
You are a vagrant. Do you think in any case I could give you the same leeway and consideration I would give Herr Hoffman?
Well, there it was. How much is the fine? Lumen asked.
1 crown.
Lumen's shoulders slumped. I'm a little cash poor. I don't suppose I can spend an afternoon in the stocks or something, rather than pay the fine.
I could put you in the jail,
the Burgermeister said thoughtfully. For how long? The crooked smile returned.
Until someone paid the fine.
That would be never. Lumen's father had driven him from the farm for taking up wizardry rather than the plow, and he certainly wasn't going to pay his son's penalty, and there was no one else.
There is another possibility.
A wet-lipped grin nearly split the vicar's face in two.
You shouldn't pay this man's fine,
the Burgermeister said. The priest quickly shook his head.
But I was thinking, perhaps instead of a fine, he could confess in church. I could make an object lesson of him.
That would be humiliating.
The Burgermeister squinted at Lumen. The priest nodded.
So humiliating. He might have to leave town afterward.
Lumen hesitated, but only briefly. Please, he said. Not that. Anything but that. The Burgermeister and the priest laughed. Lumen stood to one side of the pulpit, beneath a stained glass window. The image in the window showed Adam and Eve, clad in furs, fleeing Eden across a barrier of thorns and thistles. A wooden placard hung by rough twine from Lumen's neck, with writing in 3 languages. Zauber, Lukwatatku, Sorcerer. He wasn't sure what language Lukwatatku was. One of the Haudenosaunee tongues, maybe. Some kind of Algonk. There were Indians in the congregation, and faces that looked as German as strudel, but the vicar's sermon was in English.
By the grace of God as brought by his son,
the priest said, winding to a close,
we no longer hang witches.
A few faces in the crowd looked disappointed at the news, but most nodded piously. Several looked at Lumen with curiosity. In particular, a row of older women sitting together on a pew just in front of him. Older women alone, likely widows, mothers and grandmothers, familiar with women's ways of doing things. And if they didn't have men in their houses, they might need work done. Lumen smiled at the widows, trying to look harmless, wise, and professional at the same time. It wasn't easy, but this was a face he had practiced many times. Several of the widows smiled back.
But if we suffer this witch to live, giving mercy that we too might receive mercy, then at least he will confess his sins.
The priest turned and looked at Lumen expectantly. Lumen cleared his throat. I am a wizard. He felt brazen saying the words out loud. He was no grammarist, had never even been to one of the big colleges of magic in Philadelphia or New Amsterdam, had never been inducted into the mysteries of St. Reginald Pole. He was a self-taught hedge wizard at best, trying to scrape together enough magical art to make his way in the world. The priest rapped his knuckles on the lectern.
More. More detail. Make a confession.
Lumen raised his eyebrows, but nodded. I read the gospel over Frau Schultz-Korn, he said. And worse, I took money for it. He sneaked a sideways look at the vicar and found the priest nodding in satisfaction.
How much money?
A widow in a dark green kirtle asked. 2 pence, Lumen said. But even performing magic for small amounts of money makes me no better than Simon Magus. He tried to look dejected. The widows hung on every word. The priest nodded.
More?
I dug for money in Herr Becker's forest. We found a gravesite. A firstborn burial in jars, with gold and iron coins. And Herr Becker paid me, too.
More?
The priest insisted. I was paid 1/12 share. Lumen tried to look ashamed. It came to 3 or 4 crowns at the money changers. Several burghers in the congregation elbowed each other and nodded.
Anything else?
The priest asked. I doused for water, Lumen said. 1 shilling. I healed cows of the Murrin. 1 penny per cow. 1 shilling minimum.
Did you write Himmelsbriefe?
A widow with a red kerchief binding her hair asked.
Heavenly letters for protecting a house?
Heaven help me, I did, Lumen said.
This was a lie, but he'd watched Herr Hoffman show Helga how to write them, and had copied out Hoffman's original. So he was confident he could write a Himmelsbrief. He thought about what he ought to charge.
2 shillings, plus the cost of fine ink and paper.
That's enough,
the priest barked.
So you see, this man is a confessed wizard.
He smiled greasily at Lumen.
And you will be leaving Hubbard now?
The entire congregation looked at Lumen Walters, interested in the answer.
I will, he said, though I will spend the rest of this day here in the chapel, meditating on the seriousness of my sins.
Many heads nodded. The widow in the red kerchief had a small purse open and was discreetly counting the coins inside. And Lumen thought, he would keep the sign.
You just heard Simultaneous Times. In this episode, Free Download by Jean-Paul L. Garnier, with music by Fog Machine. Put Up a Sign by DJ Butler, with music by Red, Blue, Black, Silver. Theme music by Dane Lusco. Out now, Simultaneous Times, paperback science fiction anthology. Available at spacecowboybooks.com and lulu.com. Be sure to visit us at our store in Joshua Tree, California. Or connect with us on Instagram and Twitter. We'd love to hear what you think of the show.